This edition of the Optimize We podcast is brought to you by the Biohacking Index. Visit biohackingindex.com for ratings and reviews of your favorite wellness solutions and wellness providers.
This podcast is for informational purposes only. We are not medical professionals and do not provide medical advice. Consult a healthcare provider for any health concerns. Opinions expressed are not a substitute for professional medical guidance.
Hello and welcome to the Optimize We podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay O'Neill, and today we're going to be sharing biohacking truths with no BS with my very dear friend, also has the same name as me, Lindsay. Lindsay Kassan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lindsay, for having me. I am so excited to be here with you.
Honestly, when I first met you, I knew that we were going to be fast friends because we have such a love for creating beautiful recipes. And you have an amazing Instagram account. It's Lindsay. And I know it's Kassan, but it's spelled K-E-O-S-A-Y-I-A-N. And you have over a million followers, which is so cool. And you create the most beautiful, easy, healthy recipes on your Instagram account. Tell me how you got started with that.
Well, thank you so much for the introduction. And when I first met you, I knew we would click, and your story is inspiring as well. So thank you so much for being a motivation for me. But I actually got into my Instagram account a couple of years ago. I went through a lot of health struggles during COVID. After I had COVID, I started developing a lot of just random, mysterious symptoms. Went from doctor to doctor, couldn't seem to get the help that I needed. And really, I was never sick before then. So this was very new to me and very scary. And I had so many tests done. The doctors kept telling me, you're fine, everything's normal. Maybe it's just stress. Maybe it's just in your head. But I knew something was wrong, and I am very determined and very driven. So I kind of took it upon myself to do my own research and educate myself on nutrition and holistic healing. And I started to change things. I started to change my diet, my lifestyle, a lot of things that I didn't even really know were toxic that were probably contributing to my health symptoms. And once I slowly started to implement these changes, I noticed significant improvements, which was pretty shocking to me just because I had gone down the conventional route of medicine for so long and, you know, was trying to get help that way and nothing seemed to work. So it did kind of shock me that you can heal yourself on your own. Your body can heal if you give it the proper care and nutrition. So at the time, I was actually refinishing furniture, antique furniture for a living. And when I started to heal and get better, I knew that that probably wasn't the best thing that I should be doing for my health, being surrounded by a lot of toxins, fumes, mold. So I gave that up, even though it was something that I was so incredibly passionate about. And I decided to start from square one, start a new Instagram account, and share my healthier recipes with others who are also looking for ways to heal or just, you know, feel better and live better. And that's kind of it. So I started my Instagram account and people were loving my recipes and I just kept sharing more and more with it. And that was a couple of years ago. So now that's what I'm doing and I absolutely love it.
It's an amazing story. There's so many influencers that are out there that get negative comments on a lot of their posts. And I was scrolling through to prep for this interview. Everybody loves you and everybody loves your recipes. And even when you posted something silly, like I used to be cool, but now I eat organic and now I ride my bike and now I do these things that are optimizing my health. People were like, yeah, amen, sister. Yeah, I do the same thing. Or they were asking you as someone who they really trust and respect, you know, how can I do this in my own home? And you've really inspired me to make my recipes a little bit simpler because I, as you know, I've been working as a health coach for many years now. And you did my food inflammation test about a year ago or so, and you learned some of the things that were inflaming you. Did you find anything on that test that was a surprise to you?
I think we did talk about maple syrup. That was definitely a shock. I can't say that I've given that up, but I definitely use pure maple syrup, definitely a healthier brand than I was using growing up. But there were some things on there that I had already given up, like eggs, dairy, gluten, that I have sensitivities to. And those were some of the things that I started to give up when I did change my diet and lifestyle. And after I gave them up, I started noticing improvements. It was, I guess, validating when I did get the test done that, you know, some of the things that came back that, you know, said I was inflamed in that area, if I, you know, consumed those, it just validated that that was actually true, because when I gave them up, I felt better. So
isn't it amazing? So you said a couple of things. You know, you said you were shocked. You were surprised that making these small changes to your diet and lifestyle had such a big impact on your health. And then you were validated in an actual blood test that doesn't just look at IgG food sensitivities, you know, like one level down from a real significant food allergy, because IgG, which is everywhere, you can test, you can buy, I think probably like there's 100 tests or maybe more on just food sensitivity. But taking it one step further to like what's actually causing all of these inflammatory issues, you were validated because you already knew some of the stuff. And a lot of times people don't trust their bodies, you know, and they don't trust themselves to really be attuned to their bodies. You did a really great job. And then you are also creating all of these really super simple, delicious recipes for people that now I can send all of my clients when they're like, well, what do I eat now? I'm like, well, go check out what Lindsay's making, because she makes so many beautiful, delicious recipes. And they're all so fun. Do you have any favorites?
I do have a favorite. It's actually one of the first recipes that I ever shared on my Instagram account. And it was one of my first recipes that went viral. And it's still one that I make today. They are my no-bake carrot cake truffles. They're so easy to make. And it's the time of year to make them, right? But they're sweetened with dates. Obviously, there's carrots, there's oats, there's spices, chia seeds. So you get that protein, fiber, you know, all that good stuff. And then they have a vanilla cashew glaze that I dip them in. And they're incredible. So they were one of my first recipes. And it's really cool that I see a lot of people still make them today and enjoy them.
It's great that you're using a lot of substitutes for sugar. Because as a lot of us are optimizing our health, what we're finding, one of the big things that we can do is just remove sugar from our diet. Any sort of processed food or sugar that's in higher quantities than just like what you're getting out of natural foods, like maple syrup and honey and dates and berries and that kind of thing. What is your favorite sugar substitute that you use in your recipes?
I would say, honestly, probably dates. Up until a few years ago, this is embarrassing, I didn't even know what a date was. I'd never heard of it before. I'd never eaten one. And then when I was reading in some of these books, like, oh, you could use dates instead, I had to like search for them at the grocery store because I didn't even know what they looked like. So I would say dates are probably my favorite. And then after that would be raw honey or pure maple syrup. So those are my favorites. But you did bring up a really good point about sugar. And I was consuming so much sugar every single day and didn't even realize it. I mean, I'm talking like, you know, Starbucks drinks and pastries every day, ice cream every night, just things that have so much processed sugar and, you know, doesn't make you feel good. And then not until you start to remove those things do you actually start feeling better. And then, you know, you're encouraged to keep eating healthier options.
You'll notice that, to your point, sugar is not even on the food inflammation test as one of the 176 foods that we test for, because it inflames everybody. It's one of those things that it's just like seed oils. Seed oils inflame everybody. So there's no point in putting it on a test, because it's bad for everybody. It's not just bad for the goose, it's bad for the gander. And it's one of those things, as I'm sure you've realized and learned about, now you are a certified integrative nutrition wellness coach. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
A lot of hard work that goes into becoming an integrative health coach.
Agreed. A lot of schoolwork and, you know, a lot of time behind the scenes, but my path kind of just led me in that direction. And when I started my new account, I had no intentions of becoming a health coach. And then unfortunately, my mother was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. So I became her caretaker along with my brother. We were both caring for her. And I was encouraged even more to learn about nutrition and healing cancer and things like that. And I spent so much time with her, you know, at her home and taking her to appointments. And I thought it was a good time for me to go back to school where I could learn more about becoming a health coach and about helping others, because ultimately, like, that's what I want to do. I want to help other people feel better, because I wish I had a health coach when I was going through my health situation. I would have saved so much time, so much money, so much energy, but I just, you know, didn't know about it. To heal and so many things that you can do for yourself, and I want to help people get there a lot more quickly than I did.
You had a real tough year, and I'm truly sorry about your mom.
Thank you.
She was such a beautiful lady, and I know you guys were so close, and she was such an inspiration to you and everything that you did. I know she supported you through your career change and was one of your biggest cheerleaders. And I know you worked so hard to get yourself healthy and then to help your mom. And now you're helping so many other people. And I want to give you all of the credit and love in the world, because you're doing such amazing things for this world and beyond. And there couldn't be anyone better to have more than 1 million followers on Instagram, because everybody should really follow you and then also work with you as a coach, because you've gone through it. And a lot of people who listen to this podcast are in the middle of going through it now. Maybe they don't feel well, or they're caring for one of their loved ones. And it's more than just, you know, taking out sugar and replacing it with dates or honey. There's so many different things that you can do. And without a coach, it can get really overwhelming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much. And yeah, I remember when I was so sick after COVID, you know, for months, I felt so defeated. Like, this is how I'm going to spend the rest of my life. I'm just not going to get better. And I didn't understand why all of that was happening to me. I look back and I'm like, wow, not that I'm grateful for that experience, but if it never happened, you know, I would have never switched careers and I would still be in a toxic work environment. You know, I wouldn't be helping people now. And I'm so passionate about what I'm doing. And I just want to encourage other people to be their own best advocate, because they know their bodies best. And, you know, things can get better and they will get better as long as you have that drive and determination and you're willing to make the changes to get there.
That's the part that I think pain really contributes to. You know, you may not have been willing to make those changes unless you felt that pain. And I truly believe that God gives us pain sometimes to move us along. You know, we get stubborn and stuck in our ways many times. And I see this in my own life. I see it in the life of my family. And we don't necessarily want to create pain for other people. But even in marketing, when I worked in marketing, a lot of the marketing tools that we would pull out of our toolbox were all fear-based, pain-based marketing. Like, you're going to end up with this disease, because I mostly worked in pharmaceutical marketing. But, you know, you're going to end up with this or that, or, you know, are you tired of feeling this way or that way? Do you need to lose weight? Do you have type 1 diabetes, you know, type 2 diabetes? And it was all intended to be fearful and to drive pain for people. Wouldn't it be nice if we could figure out a pleasure path that would allow us to make these changes? When you're working with your clients, how do you find the right motivator, the right strategy to get people to take control of their health optimization journey?
I think the first thing is just being an active listener and letting them have the opportunity to share their story and share, you know, their health journey. Because I feel like even, you know, when I was going, you know, through conventional medicine, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with conventional medicine, I'm just saying that it didn't work for me. But I feel like I wasn't heard. I feel like I didn't really have the time to share my full story or really share all of my symptoms and what was going on, because, you know, these appointments are so quick. So for my clients, you know, our first session or first couple of sessions, I want to know their story from start to finish, you know, where they started, how they got to where they are now, and where they want to be. And from there, you know, we work together to figure out what their goals are, like what improvements do they want to see? And then we come up with a plan together. So it's very, you know, it's a collaborative process. And I am, you know, their support system along the way. And I want them to feel encouraged and motivated that, you know, we can put these goals in place and we can come up with a plan and that they are going to make progress.
That's great. Most people don't, I guess, choose to work with a coach unless they are ready in some way. But there was some statistic that I read that even if you sign up with a coach, you give up after the first 4 weeks. Like, people on average only make it through the first month. And it's our job as coaches to keep them going after that first month. And you're absolutely right. It's listening to their story. And I think it's also about showing them some immediate impact too, you know, showing them that the changes aren't that hard, especially with your amazing, easy recipes.
Less is more, right? Simplicity is one of the things I go by for sure.
I mean, that's why I named my first company Small Hinges, because Small Hinges
love it.
Big door of positive change. You don't have to change everything. You just change those small things. And a lot of times for people, they get overwhelmed by like what's on social media. You know, they're like, oh, there's this diet and there's that diet. And maybe I'll just eat red grapes from now on or grapefruit or, you know, like there's so much craziness that's out there. It's hard to even keep people focused. So you're doing a great job and listening to them is definitely helpful. What's the average time that you work with somebody?
It kind of depends on, you know, on what their health journey is. But I've worked with clients, you know, for a few sessions just to get them kind of back on track, the ball rolling with some minor, you know, tweaks and changes that they wanted to make, you know, or I work with clients for months and we kind of have this, you know, package of health sessions that they enroll in. You know, I check in with them and yes, I hold them accountable because I feel like a lot of times like we need an accountability partner to help us along the way. So it kind of varies for each client.
Yeah. And then what about the people in your family? So tell me about like, you have a fiance, right?
I do. Yes. Yeah. Yes. We're getting married in a couple of months.
Yay. Congratulations. That's so exciting. So like my fiance is an FDNY lieutenant and at his firehouse, they don't always cook the healthiest food. Now, my fiance tends to eat healthier, but you know, he's at work right now and having lunch with the guys, all of the, you know, the firemen cook for the lieutenants and the captains, and they'll make like fried chicken or they'll make lasagna or they'll make, you know, all of this food, and then they'll make dessert and they'll bring in donuts. And so what does your fiance eat? And are you able to shift around his his meals at home?
So my fiance is actually an airline pilot, which also makes it difficult to get on a routine schedule with healthier eating. So we've done a lot more with meal prepping and he likes to, you know, take a lot of things with him when he travels on the road. But I give him credit because it's hard. He tries to make healthier choices, but he's so limited with, you know, the restaurants that he's able to go to. But we love cooking together at home. And I feel like he appreciates the meals that we have together at home more now because, you know, of what, I mean, both of us, we both didn't eat great, you know, before all of this happened. So I think we just have like a deeper appreciation for whole foods. You know, we try to buy organic whenever possible, just being grateful for the quality of the food that we're able to have access to now.
It's true. And a lot of people did comment on that one post that you said, and they're like, yeah, but eating organic is so expensive. And what they don't realize is that most people, I grew up in New York City, so if I'm saying this, then it's got to be true for everybody else, have access to farms near you. There's even local honey that you can get. They have like beehives on the top of buildings in New York City, in Brooklyn, and you can buy local stuff. You can get local milk. You can get local, you know, eggs. If you're dairy and egg free like Lindsay, you can also get, you know, raw organic nuts and other things, and you can make your own plant-based milk. It doesn't have to be expensive and it doesn't have to be complicated. So a lot of times people will say like, oh, well, just the rich can do biohacking. And that's honestly, that's part of the BS that we're trying to address here on this show, is that you have to be a millionaire in order to afford good food or keep your diet clean.
Yeah, that's a really good point you make. And yes, of course, buying organic is more expensive than conventional. But some of the things that, you know, I'll say to people is, well, for me, being sick was so much more expensive than being healthy now. And I can vouch for that because looking back, like I mean, I was willing to empty my bank account to try to get better. And I was spending all this money on, you know, medications and like treatments and things like that, that weren't even helping me. In fact, they were making some of my symptoms worse. It's shocking, you know, how expensive that can get. And I do encourage people that, you know, you don't have to make a million changes as at once. Like you said, you know, just pick things here or there, or even, you know, in our home, we try to buy products that are non-toxic. So in the beginning, like, for example, my toothpaste, once I finished that toothpaste, I said, okay, I'm going to buy a better toothpaste. So it wasn't like I just threw everything out and like started fresh. I just kind of used what I had and then made changes gradually. And I think that's helpful too.
It's so true. And you know, a lot of people say that illness is more expensive than wellness. And again, that goes back to the whole pain thing. How much pain are you willing to feel before you make the change? You're going to make the change when you're 65 and have type 2 diabetes and are morbidly obese and have a lot of comorbidities? Or are you going to make the change now before you get really sick and you can't reverse it? You know, there's so much to be said about just shopping the outside of the grocery store. You know, it's really not that difficult to avoid the inside, which has all of the processed foods and the added seed oils and sugar and salt and all that other stuff. Just shop the outside, right? If you don't have farms near you, you know, maybe, all right, if you can't do a whole carton of eggs, you know, every week, you know, maybe spread it out and only have eggs every few days and then replace it with something else, like a nice yogurt parfait with a little bit of berries and like some chia. You've got tons of breakfast recipes on your Instagram and little bites and nuggets of stuff. It is not impossible. It's not impossible to start to shift your health. And it is very expensive to get sick. I actually was at the height of my career when I ended up getting hit by a car while I was pregnant. I think I'd made over $1 million the year before. And that's a huge hit to my income because I couldn't work anymore. I couldn't work full time anymore because then I was caring for a sick kid. And then I was caring for myself, same as you, trying to figure out what the heck happened to me. You know, why is all my hair falling out? Why do I have a fever for 10 weeks? Why am I in crushing pain and end up in the hospital? And yeah, I tried all of the conventional stuff too, first. A pill for every ill, you know. And it didn't work. It actually exacerbated a lot of my issues as well. And, you know, I'm not against Western medicine and pharmaceuticals when they're needed, but I was only 35 at the time. And so I knew I could optimize my health organically and myself. And just like you, you know, maybe it's something in the Lindsay name. We don't give up.
For sure.
We keep pushing through until we figure out what works and what doesn't work. And so that's a big point of BS, is that you can't afford it. You know, find a local farm. Typically those farmers will be really grateful if you sign up for like delivery. Like I have the Modern Milkman is delivering organic sourdough and raw milk to my house every week.
And love that. I may have to get his information. We love organic sourdough.
This is just a person that popped up at my front door dressed like a cow. It was hilarious.
Oh my gosh. That's great.
I'm looking through my Ring doorbell like, is it Halloween? It's like the middle of January. This person must be freezing. They're wearing a cow costume. But now I have my, you know, my Modern Milkman delivery every week. And it's great. It's wonderful. It's transformed, you know, my need to like run out and find that good organic bread every week and good raw milk, which you can't find in like urban areas around New York City. Yeah. So I will tell you that I found so much inspiration from your Instagram, but there are certain things that you make. When I make them, they don't look anything like what you make. You're like an artist.
Well, I have to show you some of the behind the scenes in the kitchen, or maybe I need to share more of that because it's not always rainbows and butterflies.
Your stuff looks so professional. It's beautiful. And then when I make it, I'm like, this does not look like Lindsay's.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, the first time I made them, they probably didn't look like what they looked like on Instagram. So there's always that Instagram versus reality. And my fiance can vouch for that because he's seen the kitchen when it's at its worst. But it's exciting. It's fun. You know, it's fun testing out the recipes until you finally get it. And then you get to share it and be proud of it and then see everyone recreate it. And that's the most exciting part, when you see other people make them and enjoy them and share their recreations, no matter what they look like. I love it.
I'm going to start sharing mine. I'm not going to be so embarrassed anymore.
I can't wait to see
I'll start sharing mine. So we can follow you on Instagram. Are you going to start posting more about your story? I noticed you've already started to post, like you're jumping on a trampoline.
Yeah. So I've been doing rebounding for a little while now, and that's something that I got into because of my mom. And we actually had purchased that, when I say we, my brother and I, we purchased that mini trampoline for her when she was, you know, going through her cancer journey. And unfortunately, she was unable to use it because of, you know, some of the symptoms that she was having and the pain that she was in. But I'm using it now every day. And I think of her every day when I use it. And I think about the fact that I would never even know what the benefits, you know, of rebounding are if it weren't for her. So I feel like she's saved my life through her story, and I want to help other people through her story as well. Yeah, it's one of those things that I've incorporated into my daily routine that I truly enjoy and I look forward to doing.
That's beautiful. And why don't you tell us a little bit more about your daily routine?
So I usually start the day with like a large glass of lemon water. And then after that, I've really gotten into juicing. I love making fresh celery juice. My favorite juice to make is my fresh carrot, beet, ginger, apple, and lemon. It's just super refreshing. And once you start drinking it regularly, it gives you like a very nice glow. Mm-hmm. So from the beta carotene, which is really nice. So I've gotten into the juicing as well. I like to do my workouts in the morning. So I'll do like the rebounder. If it's nice out, I love to walk outside, or I'll go to the gym and take some of my favorite classes or work out with my trainer. So that's kind of like my morning. And then I'll get into either filming or health coaching, you know, whatever I have on my schedule for the day. I do like to film when the weather permits, meaning like when the sun is out, because I try to use natural light as much as possible. I just feel like it looks better for my videos. I've tried the artificial lighting and I just can't seem to get it to work as well. So I'll do, you know, I'll spend my day with the health coaching or filming. And then I like to just kind of wind down towards the end of the day and maybe go for a walk outside or, you know, just kind of decompress. Whereas before I felt like I was working, you know, nonstop up until 10 p.m. at night. So I really do try to decompress towards the end of the day and wind down. And my fiance and I will enjoy a home cooked meal together and just relax. So that's, yeah, that's kind of, you know, my everyday's different, obviously, but that's kind of, you know, during the week, what my schedule is like.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I have a very similar schedule. I've been getting up really early. So I feel like it's 11 p.m. right now because it's raining out. It's a little darker. And I feel like I've been up for so long. But I've been getting up at 5 or 5:30 every morning just so that I have time to myself to do all the things that you just mentioned. And I've also been getting back into juicing. It's something that I got far away from. I don't know if it's I stained my counter one too many times with all the beets.
That is the worst. I've been there.
It is. It's really hard to get out, especially with like the Carrera marble, the white marble. But juicing has really transformed my health because I found that I can get away with a lot more with what I'm eating if I start the day with juice. If I get all of my nutrients from the supplements that I take in the morning, I take methylene blue every morning, which actually helps with my mitochondria and giving me energy so that I don't have to drink coffee or any sort of caffeine, which I cut out many, many months ago. I had actually cut it out for 15 years, and then I went back to drinking caffeine during the pandemic because same thing, right? Like just exhausted and didn't feel well and trying to put a Band-Aid on all of the issues. Like, I'm going to get my energy from caffeine instead of getting it from natural sources. But I love that juice mix. I'm going to make that. So it was celery, carrots, apples, lemon, and ginger.
Yeah. So the celery I actually do separately, just pure celery juice. And then the other one is the carrot, beet, apple, ginger, lemon. I'll send you the recipe. It's also on my, it's on my feed as well. A lot of people have asked for it. You start to crave it. Like you start to crave that juice every day. And then when you don't have it, it makes you, you know, appreciate when you can have it at home. So I love
it. It's a great way to start your day. You also need some protein. So sometimes I'll throw some of the juice. I'll actually freeze the juice into cubes. Mm-hmm. And then I'll throw the juice into a smoothie and then I'll put, you know, all the protein stuff. So you could
That's a great idea.
Butter, or I even put chickpeas in my smoothie sometimes to make it creamy.
I'll have to give that a try.
You'll have to try it.
Yeah, I'll have to try it.
Like milk, like chickpea milk.
I believe it. I believe it. I've made brownies with chickpeas and you can't even taste the chickpeas in it. So I will have to give that a try. Yeah. And I love how you freeze the, you know, you make the cubes. A lot of people ask me, what do I do with the pulp from the juicer? And you can, you know, freeze it and put it in smoothies or use it for other recipes. So you can definitely save that and reuse it.
I use, when I actually juice zucchinis.
Oh, okay.
Weird. But we're coming into zucchini season and I have a whole organic garden at my house. It takes up like most of my backyard, but it's great.
I love it. I love that.
And I take the zucchini pulp and I make brownies out of it. So I make zucchini.
Okay. I've seen those before and I have never tried them, but now you're giving me some ideas for some upcoming recipes.
There we go. You better give me credit, Lindsay.
I will, for sure. I always give credit when credit is due.
I just made beet brownies, but I think I used too much of the pulp from the beets.
I'm assuming they were purple or red.
They're red beets. Yeah.
Red. Yeah. Yeah. The red brownies.
They look like kind of reddish tinted.
Okay.
You know, like if you put a glaze on brown hair.
Yeah. There you go.
But no, they were delicious. And I use like all organic, you know, I am a terrible baker. So I don't know what inspired
me. I don't
me.
Believe that.
Yeah, I'm a great chef and a terrible baker. And every time I look at your recipes, I'm like, oh, I could do that because I'm a terrible baker, but I can make that.
That's funny. You'll have to give me some chef recipes or tips because I always gravitate towards baking, probably because I grew up with such a sweet tooth. I love my sweets. But yeah, most of my feed are sweets or, you know, treats, desserts, snacks, things like that. So we'll have to swap some ideas and tips.
Yeah, I love to make real food. So a lot of, you know, even if you want to eat raw, like raw organic veggies, mm-hmm. you shave them up and you put like a nice dressing on them. I love cooking with fennel. I'll grill leeks. I'm a big like grilling veggies, grilling grass-fed beef. I love to use my sous vide. I like to just eat very clean, you know, not a whole lot of grains, not a lot of fried stuff. If I'm pan frying anything, I usually use beef tallow, and I've been making my own beef tallow, Lindsay.
Oh, wow.
So easy.
That's amazing.
So you go to the butcher and you ask them for the bones from like beef bones with the marrow in it.
Okay.
And you just roast them in a pan at like 500 degrees or 475, however high you can get your oven up to, until they're nice and caramelized. And all of the liquid that comes out into the pan is beef tallow.
Interesting.
So I put it in the
little. You learn something new every day. I had no idea.
And you can put it. So I add it to my castor oil, and then I put it on my hands when my hands are really dry in the wintertime, or if they're really cracked, like from gardening or cooking, because I never get manicures anymore. It just doesn't make
me any either.
I clean all the time. Doesn't make any sense. It's also toxic, you know, most of the time. But then I use the beef tallow to like cook everything in it.
That is so cool. I love that.
Did you know that McDonald's used to fry their French fries in beef tallow?
I had no idea.
When they first opened, they fried, and it was just potatoes, salt, and beef tallow. There were three ingredients. And now,
well, it doesn't surprise me because I know that the ingredients have drastically changed over the years. So that's very interesting. I had no idea.
I forget how many ingredients are in McDonald's French fries, but I think it's definitely more than a few dozen.
Oh, I believe it.
It doesn't make any sense to me. And it's all fried in that awful seed oil. And, you know, you have to be really careful with your food.
Yeah. Austin asked for, he requested French fries one night for dinner. So I made him carrot fries. And he actually loved them. And he doesn't like carrots.
Okay. Well, there you go. What did you cook them in?
I use like avocado oil or coconut oil. But yeah, I just sliced the carrots, you know, season them, and then bake them in the oven. And the texture was like, it was like a French fry. I was like, this is amazing. So I've seen people do them with sweet potatoes as well. I haven't tried that yet, but it's on my list.
I make sweet potato fries all the time. I trick my kids because they have white sweet potatoes now.
Those are my favorite. The mm-hmm. Japanese sweet potatoes.
Yep.
Yep.
I get those, and then I make white sweet potato fries, and they're like, these French fries taste a little weird, but they're really good. I'm like, I know.
They're the like, these are a little bit sweet, but
yeah,
I like them.
The sweet and the salty aspect is
so good.
When I was first learning how to cook, and I never took, you know, conventional cooking classes. I never went to like the CIA, except for the culinary medicine program that I did through the Harvard School of Public Health. That's the only time I ever took a class at the CIA, which is the Culinary Institute of America. But I learned through like my Sicilian grandma who lived in the Bronx and my former stepdad who loved to cook like Indian food and all of this. And I did take one cooking class when I was probably in my early 20s at DeGustibus in New York City. And I don't know if anybody who's listening remembers DeGustibus. I don't even know if it's still there. It was on the top floor of Macy's, and it was so cool. You sat in this room, and there was a huge mirror that reflected the whole kitchen so that if wow. no matter where you were sitting in the room, you got to see how the meal was prepared. And the chef came in, you know, five-star chef, probably Michelin star chef, because that's what DeGustibus would bring to us crazy New Yorkers who wanted to create gourmet food in our homes. And they made the most amazing coconut scallop soup I've ever had in my entire life with chilies. And that's when I learned all about umami flavors, you know, the five senses, the salt, sour, savory, sweet, and spicy.
Wow.
How to create that all in one dish. And so I was like obsessed from then on. Like everything I'm creating is going to have all of these flavors in it.
That's incredible. Now you're making me hungry.
I know. It's time for a snack. But yeah, it's amazing to see what you've done and how you've transformed your life and how your mom is still giving you, you know, nudges here and there and a lot of inspiration, and how you're taking that inspiration and using it to inspire so many others. And I'm so proud to be your friend, and I'm so grateful to have you on this podcast because you've done such a great job optimizing your health and now sharing your health optimization story with all of us is just, it's so wonderful of you to do that. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I believe our paths have crossed, you know, for a certain reason. And I'm so glad they did because you're an amazing friend and you are such an inspiration to me. I just think, you know, the more people hear about ways to improve their health, it spreads and it's infectious. So I just, you know, want people to know that they can advocate for themselves and that they can feel better and that healing is possible. So, and that we're all here to help them along the way.
Sign up for coaching from Lindsay Kassan.
Thank you so much, Lindsay.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And I'm excited to go and share some of the ugly looking recipes.
I cannot wait to see them.
Instagram.
And I'll start showing you some of my ugly recipes that I used when I was testing them out.
Please do. Make me feel better. No judgment.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Lindsay. I really appreciate your time and your energy and all of the love that you bring to all of us here. So I appreciate it. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.